Hey, tune in to All in One Sports with Jimmy and Ricky. We'll give you all the hockey news you need to have, and they're really passionate about their teams.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to All in One Sports, Jimmy B and Ricky O here on Thursday night. Thursday night usually is wrestling night, and it is tonight for you guys. There was a jam-packed weekend. SummerSlam in the books, AW Collision, so much to get into. Just an all-around wrestling show. Ricky, welcome back.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Can't wait to get into
a little bit of wrestling, past, present, future. SummerSlam, a little of my past in wrestling, a little of your AEW. So I'm looking forward to this show tonight.
Yeah, it should be a good one. Big wrestling guy, always been since the day I was a kid. Just attracted to it.
That you were a kid, right?
Yeah, exactly. The one day I was a kid.
So was that the one day when you were a kid that you didn't do like 63 podcasts in one day? Was that when you were able to be a kid?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think it was a long time ago when I was putting my buddies in the sharpshooter.
Yeah, we have some stories. One day we got to get my friend Mikey Torrey on, my buddy Pickle. If anybody ever hears me talk about Pickle, he's been around since day one with me. Pickle made our original back in like 1977, 78. He cut up some cardboard and wrapped it in aluminum foil and made the Derice Park, Lodi, New Jersey championship belts. He did commentary on matches that were just non-existent. We had the whole backyard scene going pretty hard when I was a kid too. And I'll never forget my two friends, Nikki and Billy, picking up this kid, Gregory, and hitting him with the doomsday device off the top of a fence and knocked him unconscious. And we all ran out of a different exit in the park because we were afraid that his mother or father were going to kill us. And he was just left laying unconscious in the middle of the street. Pickle would go through about $65 a month in D batteries for his boombox for the entrance music. So we used to have a really good time of wrestling. And I grew up, made some dreams of mine come true. Some nightmares of mine came true also. But for the most part, I had a really good time in wrestling.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, just something you can't give up. You go back and forth with it. You lose it sometimes. It always brings you back. Just always attracted to it. Like I said, I've been a big Bret Hart guy since I grew up, and, so honored to meet him so many times and, just to talk war stories and just hear how he got into business, everything. His hate for Bill Goldberg, which is great.
Oh, no, listen, I'll be honest with you. He has every reason in the world to hate Bill Goldberg.
Absolutely.
Bill Goldberg's an interesting subject. We'll get into guys like Goldberg later. I was going to ask you a Bret question. It's so amazing to watch a guy like Bret. Even to this day, he almost still talks in kayfabe about the business and the training and matches and who was good, who was bad, who could work, who can't work. But in my opinion, I think the WWE at that time, even though Vince was trying to save money and with the whole "I'm going broke" bullshit, God only knows what the real story was with that, other than the alleged closeness to Shawn Michaels that he had, and they just wanted Bret out of the picture. But I really think that wrestling could have went another 2 years with the anti-American gimmick with the Harts. We still have Owen if Bret doesn't leave.
Yeah,
the feud with Stone Cold and the Road Warriors and Ken Shamrock and all of those guys stays for at least another 1-2 years. Easy. Could have been two of the best years in the history of wrestling. And it's a shame that we'll never know what could have happened. It's a shame that Bret had to go to WCW, which was obviously a lesser choice for him. And obviously, in my opinion, just a company that was on the decline at that time and then has to go in a ring with a jacked up, made up superstar who just was careless. Seth Rollins to me is the same way. A lot of people love Seth Rollins, but I personally think Seth Rollins is very dangerous in the ring. I think he's hurt a bunch of people. He's sloppy, and that describes Bill Goldberg, except that Bill Goldberg's five times the size of Seth Rollins,
No, I hear you. No, I totally agree. I think some of his Bret's best work was 97 when he's heel. I wish we could have gotten more of that because that anti-America gimmick was so good. The fact that he won, I was one of maybe a handful of people, a SummerSlam 97 that was cheering for him when he won the WWF title at the time. And the fact that, like you said, that Austin Bret feud, man, you could have kept it going. Austin could have won the title from him at WrestleMania 14, the whole nine yards. Like, it was, but again, we'll never know.
Bret debuted on WWF TV as a jobber, as Bret Hart. And I'll never forget, he's wearing maroon tights.
Yep.
He jobs for a couple weeks. And then next thing you know, he's with Jimmy Hart for a week or two. And then he's with Jim Neidhart, and they have the Hart Foundation. And it was just pretty funny, the progression, because you could tell that, you know, Vince saw something in him way early, you know, and then to watch his character development go from this thick, almost pudgy, thick guy to the excellence of execution in 15 years of the progression of the timetable was just actually amazing. And then to sit back and listen to him talk, that's where my question was going with you, was as a fan, and you're definitely 100% wrestling fan, how was it to just pick his brain? Like, was that like for you a great experience, a lifelong experience, or?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Lifelong experience. Just being a fan of his, like, just the second, like, I asked him, like, what goes into, like, putting a match together, especially, like, somebody like him. Cause I told him, like, I said to him one time when I met him, I was like, dude, you couldn't have a bad match with anybody. You made everybody look good, from, like, Pierre Levesque to, you know, Doink the Clown, everybody in between. Like,
you know what, Jimmy?
He put on stellar matches with everybody.
But everybody then could work.
Exactly. It's true. Everybody could work back then.
I personally, I'll tell you a few that was very underrated in Bret Hart's that I really enjoyed. And I'm not going to say Jerry Lawler because I love that.
That was a great feud, though.
Rikishi.
Yes.
Phenomenal matches. Excellent. Just excellent back and forth traditional wrestling. Excellent. To me, Rikishi is grossly underrated by anybody who doesn't appreciate what he did in the WWE, taking that gimmick and just going with it.
Well, Bret, I don't know when this interview was. Somebody tagged me in it today, but he said that he wished Bret could have worked with Rey Mysterio, because he said he really admires what Rey does in the ring, and he said he could have had some heck of a matches with him.
Absolutely. I mean, who couldn't he have had great matches with, you know?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, Bret's just so good. And, like, one other thing before we, like, get into the pay-per-view, but for me, I kind of wish Vince had more faith in him as a champion. Like, the work he did not as a champion was so good that I wish he had had longer title reigns. Like, every title reign he had was so short.
Yeah, well, that was an era where even, I think, if I remember right, that was the drop it to Diesel. Diesel drops it to Backlund. Backlund drops it to somebody. Somebody drops it to somebody. Let's give it back to Bret.
Yeah.
You know, that type of era. So it was a little weird. You know, the business was trying to find its own niche. You got to remember something. This is the era where ECW explodes on the scene and starts giving people nothing they've ever seen before in their life.
Yep.
You got Bubba Dudley, who, you know, I love Bubba. You know,
Bubba's the man.
I was going to talk a little bit about Bubba and Devon and my history with the Dudleys and some funny stuff I heard them talking about today. But, you know, this is an era where ECW has given fans the most violent, realistic wrestling since the 70s in Memphis. And they're taking wrestling to a whole new level with the crowd participation, the weapons, and, you know, that thing was filling a niche. Then you got WCW, who just signing everybody and throwing everybody into a ring at one time. You know, you're talking about the Jerichos and the Lance Storms and the, you know, all the luchadors
from Mexico
and the Eddie Guerreros and the Chris, you know, Benoit originally started out there. So it was all this hodgepodge, and then all of a sudden Bret turns heel. And they've got this anti-American thing, and they're able to work the Road Warriors. They're able to work Ken Shamrock. They're working Stone Cold. They're working every babyface, and they are just absolutely the best heel fraction since the Four Horsemen. And they are literally tearing it up. And it was just I really wish to God that they never had to put that to an end. I think it could have ran another 2 years easy, and I think – the saddest part is, like I said, we could still probably have had Owen if that would have happened, you know?
I think you have a lot of guys still, because I think Davey doesn't go to WCW, get hurt. Neidhart doesn't go over there. Like, and the thing is like, too, you go back on it, right? SummerSlam, great finish, great match, like, great storytelling, Taker, Bret, Shawn. But the problem is you bring Shawn back as a heel, it really killed all of Bret's momentum as an anti-American.
I agree. But that's the era when, you know, everybody talks about that Shawn got whatever he wanted from Vince. And it was like, you know, all of those rumors going. And it was, you know, I'm not going to get into that. It's not fair to talk about that. And there might be one kid that ever listens to the show.
Yeah.
But there we go. Finally got a light. And it's just, you know, it is what it is. There's rumors of wrestling. Go look it up on Dark Side of the Ring. Go look up a shoot interview and type in Shawn Michaels, Vince McMahon, and you'll see the rumors. But let's transition a little bit, because towards the end of the show, I want to talk a little bit about my history with some of the boys and some funny stuff I heard on Dave LaGreca's show today. Busted Open with Bubba and Devon are getting back together for a night. Pay tribute to Impact Wrestling and Scott D'Amore on their 1,000th episode. Congratulations to them.
That's Isn't that up in White Plains? Westchester 7 is going to host the 1,000th episode of Impact, right?
Yeah, God bless him. Scott D'Amore is a great guy. I never really had...
Team Canada, baby, let's go.
I never had too many interactions with him, but when I have, he's been nothing but a gentleman, and he was really nice. And, let's get into Impact after SummerSlam.
Yeah, so you absolutely. Lead the way. All right, so SummerSlam this past Saturday night... live Detroit, Michigan. Roman Reigns leads and leaves with the WWE Universal Undisputed, whatever you want to call it, championship. Beats Jey Uso. You have the Jimmy Uso shows up, pulls his brother out of the ring, turns on him. After Jimmy's the one that made Jey turn on Roman, and you kind of get this feeling. It's like, okay, where's this story headed? Has it peaked? Paul Heyman's talking about, oh, well, we're only in the bottom of the third now. We still got a long ways to go. But if we're getting to brother versus brother stuff, that kind of should wait till WrestleMania. What's going on now with Roman now? Like, he's got the championship, and are we headed to like a four-way here?
First of all, I have to say, Roman Reigns may go down as one of the greatest champions in the history of the WWE, in my opinion. The psychology that goes in 100% is Paul Heyman. Paul's a genius. You can't deny it. Love, hate him, owed money from him, whatever it is. He is a genius. Whoever is writing the bloodline angles is at the top of their game, and you can't argue it. Here's my thing. Did you watch this Cody Rhodes documentary yet?
I did.
Okay. So if you watch this documentary and you don't come out being a Cody Rhodes fan, you're not a wrestling fan.
No, okay? I love Cody.
I never really got behind Cody. I was like, now you got to understand something. Let me go into a little history here. Growing up in New Jersey, it was October 11th, 1981, I believe, when the guy came to our house and plugged this little wire into a wall. And all of a sudden, we went from 5 channels to 100 channels on a thing called cable. Didn't get it to 1981. And I flipped them through the channels and find Tommy Wildfire Rich and Brad Armstrong out at a podium. And they have a rabbit and a pig. And he's challenging Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen to the NWA world title match. And he's calling them pig face and rabbit because Ole Anderson looks like a pig and Stan Hansen always runs out of the ring. And then all of a sudden, this white guy who talks like a black man comes on up and he starts doing If You Will. And baby, let me tell you something, in the Omni. And I'm like, who is this man? Because you got to remember, Jimmy, you're a little younger than me.
Yeah.
WWF TV consisted of squash matches. 5 minutes of a guy going out, and if it was a baby face, it was Bob Backlund. He would wrestle for 5 minutes against a guy who had no chance to beat him.
Nope.
He would, hit every amateur move on him. 1, 2, 3, it's over. Then you had George Steele come out and just beat somebody to death for 3 minutes, put him in an upper arm hammer lock, beat him. There was never really ultra competitive matches unless SD Jones was on or Johnny Rods was on the other side of the ring. And then you knew they were going to lose. But then there was a chance because you were 8 years old, 9 years old, go, maybe he can win this week. But there was nothing. And then Georgia Championship Wrestling, every week you got brawls at the podium. You got Ric Flair wrestling on TV. You got Dusty Rhodes wrestling on TV. You got main event matches. Okay, now I understand that they never went to a finish. They always went to a DQ or a run-in. But there is Dusty Rhodes, and he is just captivating. He was the greatest baby face in the history of television and professional wrestling.
Absolutely.
So now every week Dusty wears a Harley shirt. Every week he's out. This is before guys had their merchandise and he's wearing his own t-shirt or whatever. And he's wearing Harley shirts. And me and my friends would save a couple bucks each and we would chip in and we would buy like a Lodi Harley Davidson t-shirt or Rochelle Park Harley Davidson or whatever we went. We found something at a flea market and we would mail it to the studio. And we would flip out because 1 week Dusty comes out on TV and there's Lodi Harley Davidson on his t-shirt. Me and my buddies are going crazy. And Dusty Rhodes was a person of the people. You got behind him because you thought, like, Dusty could be my dad. Dusty probably drove a truck when he did a vignette and he talked about being a garbage man. You believed he could have been a garbage man. when he did a vignette and said he dined with kings and queens, you could see Dusty sitting at the table with royalty, right? So you always rooted for Dusty, and Dusty had a way of making himself the sympathetic babyface. So he was always left bloody. The Road Warrior stuck a spike in his eye. You thought he was blind. Ric Flair
broke his leg.
You know, always something. You know, he was burned. He had his eyes burned by Kendo Nagasaki. The Mist, you know, took his vision. Kevin Sullivan threw ink in his sister's face. So you come out, you love Dusty. And then all of a sudden, the Natural is out there. And Dustin is kind of a little forced down everybody's throat early because it's Dusty's son. And you're kind of like, I really want to like him, but he's bland. And yeah. He becomes Goldust, and he's absolutely amazing. Right?
Oh, my God. That character. You, as a kid growing up in the 90s, you're like, what is this character? Like, you have no idea, like, what he's doing.
What he's doing, how erotic it is. Or yeah, it's actually like, based on sex, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because I remember my first introduction to Dustin Runnels was at the 91 Royal Rumble when him and Dusty teamed up against Ted DiBiase and Virgil. And then Virgil went babyface, and then they had that feud. But then when he came back as Goldust, I'm like, what the hell is this character?
Amazing character, right?
Yeah.
But then you get Dustin. Dustin goes to WCW. He's the Natural. He's teaming with Steamboat. He's got his run. But Cody comes in. He's kind of like this. He's a natural amateur wrestler. I mean, obviously now I knew he was good, but I didn't realize how good until I watched this documentary that the kid was fucking Brock Lesnar before Brock Lesnar. And then he comes in and he's kind of just wearing green trunks and yellow boots and he's kind of boring. And then he, whatever. And then he does
that legacy fight with Orton and DiBiase Jr.
Right. But you're not really behind him. He's not fat, right? No. He's not fat. He's not blonde. He's amateur wrestling. He's not doing the daddy thing or nothing. And you're not behind him. And then he does Stardust and you're like, whatever.
And the Dashing Cody Rhodes, though, character was really good, actually.
No, it was good. That's what I'm saying. As he progressed in his career, he started getting good. Now, where I'm going with this story is Roman Reigns and the Bloodline has to go to WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia.
Right.
The city of brotherly love, America's first city, you know, the Revolutionary War, the whole nine yards in New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Delaware. And Cody's going to win the title. Okay. Cody's walking out, WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Now we have a bridge. We have September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. We're at like 9 months away, right? So now we have to fill a bridge. So what I see coming is great idea for the four-way, okay? I think at one point you're going to see all four of them in a four-way match. Yeah. You're going to see the Usos feud currently. But I think we're not done seeing other family members get back involved in this.
No, I don't think so either.
Nina Jax has been re-signed. Inside information that she can be popping up on TV anytime now. I don't know if she popped up this week. I didn't see the show.
No, she didn't. You're not yet anyway.
Okay, so allegedly she's back in the company fold. They're still talking about Bubba laid out the most incredible. Again, I'm going to give, like, we gave credit to Paul Bissonnette. Being the new face of the NHL. Bubba, if you get a chance to listen to him on Busted Open Radio on satellite in the mornings, Bubba's phenomenal. Devon's phenomenal. I cannot stand Dave LaGreca. I apologize. I don't like him. I had a bad experience with him. He had me on the show. I co-hosted a couple weeks with him, and it was fun. And then he went in another direction with another wrestler who I won't even put his name out there, who was just sexually a little causing some misconduct behind the scenes, piece of shit, Kevin Knight. And then, you know, I just don't want to be involved with Dave because he kind of chose to have Kevin on the show every week who was being alleged of very sexual things with young kids. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Don't know if it's true. Wink, wink. I don't really care if it's true. But you shouldn't take that risk, in my opinion, when you're hosting a radio show. Anyway, right. Bubba laid this thing out about how they're always talking about the tribal masters and the heads of the family. And when does it come down to Alpha and Sika coming back? When does it come back to The Rock coming in and getting involved and saying, we need to settle this family down? We have to think of other members that are out there. You still have Samu, who's a big man. He's been sick, but he's still mobile. He can come out.
Rikishi's around.
Rikishi is around. Alpha Jr. is still around.
What about Jacob Fatu? Isn't he wrestling somewhere?
He's in MLW, but he had just had another incident where something happened with the law. I don't know if he was guilty or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't followed up on the story, but there were some more charges brought up against him. And that's kind of a problem why he hasn't been in. He might be the best worker out of all of them. You know,
yeah.
he's that good. But we haven't seen the end of this by any chance.
No.
I don't think that he drops the title and gets it back to anybody. I think he goes in undefeated into Mania, and it's Cody's belt to win. Where they're going with the Uso thing is very interesting, because now you have wives that can get involved that wrestle.
Except one of the wives is in another company.
But when does she come back? When's that contract expired? When does she come back and back her man? When do they get in a feud? When do they reunite and win the tag belts again? There's so much that can happen. When do they bring the tribal masters back? And there was an interesting thing where people were saying Roman doesn't get over because he never really wins clean. So when do you have them in a Hell in a Cell with the four of them? And yeah, Roman actually gets a win. He actually gets a win.
I would like that.
But you have the tribal elders bring in like 20 Samoan bodybuilder dudes. They go out and get all these, contracted dudes, and Afa brings them in. And this is the new lineage of the family. And they surround the ring and nobody can interfere. And his family has to fight to the death. And you have a definitive winner with Afa and Sika and Rikishi all at ringside. Maybe Rikishi goes and helps his boys. And now it's Rikishi managing one of his sons or both his sons against Roman with the tribal elders and Afa and Sika. You can go a million different directions. And again, we haven't seen The Rock get involved in this.
No, we haven't, because when can The Rock ever get involved in it?
Now, here's a name to pay attention to. Very much on the WWF radar for years, has not been brought in. Ming's son.
Yeah.
Over in the Bullet Club in Japan.
What is that? Hikaleo, right?
No, it just popped right out of my head. He wrestled for me. He worked GCW shows. He was a JCW.
Oh, what? Tama Tonga.
JCW World Champion.
That's right. Yep, throw it up.
And he hasn't been brought in yet. Fala over in Japan has not been brought up. There's a million different Samoan, you can just say, okay, he banged this one's cousin and he comes in. People don't realize is that Titus is a member of the Samoans family. He's married to Tonga's daughter, Haku's daughter. There's a million different things that they can do to bring this in. But I love the idea of the Hell in a Cell, four of them in there. Finally, Roman gets a gigantic win, beats the three of them, and his next opponent is Cody. And the family has to reunite now. And somebody fucks Roman at WrestleMania, and Cody gets the win.
I like it. I really like that. That's actually really good. And speaking of Cody, he gets he ends the feud with Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. That was the second match on. Good match. Slow match for me. But that's the way they work.
Different,
very, very different match. I like the spot where, the count out spot where it got to 7 to 8 to 9, 9.5. Cody comes in. Cody gets a W over Brock. Three crossroads, because I was sitting with my friend, we were watching, we're kind of predicting the show how it was going along. But what was cool was Brock takes his gloves off. Now, we didn't know if he was going to just like throw down on Cody like he did with Orton that one year at SummerSlam. We just like beat the crap out of him unscripted. But it was cool to see Brock acknowledge Cody. Cody mentions it the next night on Raw that he gets acknowledged by this guy. Nice, like, moment where you don't really see that too much in WWE, like similar to what Taker did with Jeff Hardy in an underrated ladder match.
Right.
You just acknowledge the next guy coming. But good for Cody getting that W and ending this feud, and let's see what's next for him.
Very, 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 very shocking to see Brock break character.
Right, exactly.
He's not going on the 6-month hiatus either. He's gone for about 30 days and then he's booked on all their shows again.
Right.
So very interesting. Where are you going with Brock now? So you had babyface Brock, had a nice run, the crowd was behind him. He returns heel.
Still don't know why he went heel.
We still have no idea. So it's Brock does whatever Brock wants. So Brock might come back next week and be in the women's division. He might come back. Why? He can be trans. What are you saying? You discriminating?
I know. I know his trainer. So,
who is he training with now? Who do you know?
E-Rock, Powerhouse.
Over at Powerhouse. What I was going to say. Shout out to Powerhouse Gym.
Saddlebrook, originally in South Hackensack.
Yeah, over on across the street from the Brookside, little bar that's on the corner there. I've never been there once. Dirty, 16 years old in that place. Oh. But anyway, so let's hit another match here. Let's go to Ronda Rousey.
I want to go to the opener, Logan Paul and Ricochet. I thought that was a really good match, good opener. both guys really brought it. You knew you were going to get some high spots here.
Yeah.
I want, as much as everybody hates on Logan Paul, let me tell you something. This guy, I give this guy 100% credit. Guy's athletic, coming into business, learning it, learning what it takes to be a wrestler. Said it's the hardest thing he's ever done. Anybody who knocks professional wrestling and all this stuff, go in and do what Logan Paul's doing, because this guy could put on a match. And I kind of had a feeling he was going to win here. He kind of needed a win here because he was just been losing.
Why in the hell would anybody hate Logan Paul? I'm just saying, I know, like, his personality grinds you a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's a wrestling heel. He was made to do this.
Exactly.
And he's excellent at it. He might be the single best celebrity in the history of wrestling that's ever walked in and taken to a ring, because he's not coming in and doing a three-move match. He's executing at Ricochet's level.
Exactly.
Ricochet, another former JCW, GCW alumni, phenomenal. I mean, the guy is just a world-class athlete, world-class wrestler. And give props to Logan Paul. God bless him. He's a natural. He's a fish in water in this, and you know, good for him. And when do we see his brother jump in the ring with him? When do we see the
you know, I would, that's gonna be coming.
It's gonna be a Logan Brothers tag team. I 2024. I predict they will hold the tag belts in the WWE.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it, because I heard his new contract. He said he's gonna win a championship. It's in his new contract that he's gonna hold the title eventually.
Yeah, that's great. Let's keep kayfabe alive, guys. You know, let's put out what's in your contracts now.
Yeah, exactly. That
burns my balls. Like, you have no idea.
I know it does.
People wonder why wrestling is just either people love it or hate it. It's because of fucking scumbags like Dave Meltzer, who go out and expose every fucking thing. The Dark Sides of the Ring, I love them. That's not exposing to me, because those are post-career. But you don't come out and say, oh, in his new contract, he's going to win a title in 24. Jesus Christ. Well, that means every time he wrestles for a belt, we're just going to think he's going to win it, and then he's eventually going to get one. And then you're not going to be shocked, because it's like, oh, I read that last year. It's in this contract.
Right, exactly.
Or why do they have to have backstage things where guys are, like, hanging out? Or, you know, like, let's get some, you know. Anyway, that's Jim Cornette's rant.
Bring back kayfabe. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. But, Jimmy, there's too much leak. There's too much out in the – I don't agree with it. But anyway, go ahead. Let's go to Ronda Rousey and
Shayna. You mean so boring? So you mean the boring match?
Okay, so here's the deal.
Here's the problem. See, and this is the elephant in the room, is this match should have been in a fight pit or in a cage or something.
Should have been Shamrock versus Severin, WWE.
Yeah, in the pit. SummerSlam.
Attitude Era style match. You're absolutely right.
Like, now, this in a ring didn't work for me, considering you left off Becky and Trish.
Right. Now, nobody's ever tapped Ronda in judo, jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, fucky-sucky, whatever it is. Nobody's ever made her tap out. I used to be a big fan of Ronda Rousey in the UFC. I liked her early in the WWE. She's boring as fuck. It's like watching paint dry. I agree. Baszler may be the single ugliest woman in the history of wrestling.
Absolutely.
There's just nothing there for a fan to get behind in this. It's not wrestling. It was UFC. But the story is that nobody ever tapped her, and her friend tapped her. It's Ronda's gone. I don't believe Ronda's coming back from this.
No, she's gone.
I think it's over. I think the match is just worth forgetting. They tried something different. They tried to do a UWF Japan late 80s, early 90s work.
Didn't work.
And it didn't work. Next match. Go ahead.
How about this LA Knight, man? This guy's over big time. Wins the Battle Royal. Looks good doing it. Merch. He's part of the new Slim Jim commercial. He's super over. He's at the Mets game.
I don't know
game.
What to do with him, Jimmy.
I know. Well, he's in a feud now with The Miz. He looked good on Raw with The Miz, going one-on-one on the mic. You know,
I don't know what they're going to do with him. He can't pass Cody. He's not going to pass Cody.
Really. No, he's not passing Cody, but.
What is he going to do? He's not going to beat Gunther. Gunther's going to go past Honky Tonk.
Give him the U.S. title.
How many fucking belts are there?
Too many fucking belts.
Dominic Mysterio has a belt that I didn't even know existed.
North American Championship, baby. It was brought North back America. When Triple H was still running NXT, when it was good.
Let's go to
Seth Rollins versus Balor for the World Heavyweight Championship.
I don't know what they're doing with Finn Balor. I mean, they gave him the World Championship. He got hurt because of Seth Rollins' sloppiness, right?
Did you see him? He wrote 7 on his arm too? He had it right there.
Yeah,
talking about 2015.
The I can't believe it was that long ago either.
I know, right?
But, you know, what's insane is that it's – what do you do with Finn Balor? I mean, Seth Rollins is always going to be a serviceable heel. He's a scumbag. He – you know, I don't mean in a person. I mean his character's sleazy. He's getting –
but right now he's working as babyface.
Right. He's a babyface, but he's always going to be that – he can be a sleazy heel.
Right.
He's always a tweener babyface because you're waiting for him to turn on somebody at any moment. So he's always going to be around. He's going to be good. He's going to make money. He's going to sell merch. And he's got a great theme song. They could ride the theme song for another year just on his entrance music.
It's getting a little annoying.
I'm glad you said it because you're a fan, Jimmy. I want to hear this from you.
Like nothing against Seth and everything, but this Joker character and his laugh and all this stuff, it's getting old.
I heard he's looking to go back and try one more time of pairing himself up with his wife and having them work as a team. So we'll see where that goes. Finn, I think Finn's better days in WWE are over. I think you'll see Finn be a guy now used to elevate younger talent, putting guys
over. Similar to what they're doing to AJ Styles.
Exactly.
Which is what my biggest fear was when his contract was up. When he first came over, he had no choice because the fans were behind AJ Styles and Vince had no choice but to push him. But this was my biggest fear, that AJ just becomes a guy that his better days, he could still be putting on great matches.
But I'm saying
is he could still put on good matches and put in the right situation.
Absolutely. Again,
this is my problem with
– it's like Shinsuke Nakamura.
Right, exactly. This is my problem with this company, and Triple H is still doing the same thing the old man did. If you're not a WWE guy, if they didn't find you, if they didn't develop you, you get the short end of the stick when you come into the company.
Should have went to the company first.
What?
I'm a loyal WWE. This is where we really differ, okay?
Right.
You love AEW.
I don't know. I like both, but I'm trying to be – I
understand what you're saying. He's not a Vince guy. He's not a Vince guy. But neither was Eddie Guerrero.
No, but I think that was...
Neither was Chris Benoit.
Yeah, but he eventually had to get those guys over.
Neither was Hulk Hogan.
No, but then he just loved the Pythons.
But I'm just saying, he...
I know.
Nobody is a better judge of talent. Nobody's done more for this business than Vince. And nobody ever will. You can love him. You can hate him. He can have, you know, I don't like any of this. If any of those charges are true, what he's done to women, they should rot in hell, plain and simple. But for what he's done for the business, nobody in the world has ever done more.
I'm not taking that away from him.
Vince's used tissue after a fucking whack-off session at a Marriott on Route 46 in Little Ferry. He will never be Vince. He dreams at night to being Vince, and he never will be. Sorry. Let's finish SummerSlam, then get to AEW.
Okay, so and then we had Gunther and Drew Mack for the IC title. And you said Finn for a minute. Look, I think ever since he got hurt, I think things have not gone for him. Down in NXT, his second run there, world champ, that was really good. I think he's doing some good work with this Judgment Day thing. I want to see where that goes with him. But I think he needs to start winning a title somewhere and make this team.
They have everything going there. But you got Damian Priest with the briefcase. You got Rhea Ripley with –
the women's
title. Okay, that's another thing. That's the thing that set me off today about kayfabe, okay? I see a post on Facebook where she got engaged to Buddy.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of the two of them kissing, right? And my caption on the photo was, poor Dominic's going to be crushed.
Right.
Right? So now, if I'm Vince, I punish her. I'm being serious. I punish her for getting that photo out. That photo should have never been made public. That photo, she's playing a character where she's Mamacita to... listen, Dom. We all know wrestling's fake. Well, okay, right. We all know it's great, but we're trying to present an illusion, right? She's Dominic Mysterio's Mamacita now for going on a year. It's fucking over. They're both over. They got Dominic over. I didn't think they can get Dominic over in a fucking whorehouse with a pocket full of 50s.
They got him over. He's the most hated guy in that room.
And now his Mamacita is engaged to a guy with a rival company, putting pictures out, making out with the guy, kissing the guy. And honey, at times, you got to say to yourself, maybe this shouldn't go on Snapchat. Maybe this shouldn't be on Instagram. Maybe I'm playing a character right now. You have a gay tag team, and the gay tag team is over now because of what they're doing in the ring. The Christopher Street Connection, former independent tag team out of New York, New Jersey, worked JCW, worked a ton for JAP. They played their role 24/7. They were both straight, married with kids or girlfriends of kids, the whole nine yards. But you would leave the show and just, even as a worker, be like, I wonder if they're really a couple. They presented an illusion. The illusion is there 24/7. You don't see Undertaker during his career breaking kayfabe and going
out. He never broke kayfabe.
No. You know, and it's just, I'm just saying, is they have the hottest heel stable. They're all wearing belts. You got Priest, who's got a rocket ship up his ass right now. He probably will be the guy to cash in and beat Rollins.
Yes, okay? I agree, sir. I agree.
He's going to be a future world champion. And you've got them now. She's with a rival guy from another company exposing that she's really not the mamacita that's being played on TV. She's not Dominic's piece of ass. And I know it's stupid, but to me, it just killed the whole fucking gimmick.
It did. It did kill the gimmick. All right, so Drew and Gunther.
Incredible hard match. I give it a
hard-hitting affair.
3.5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's where does Drew go now? You know,
it's interesting because his contract, he really didn't renew yet. Again, another thing you hate that it's still out there that he didn't re-sign. But, again, that's it. That's the world we're living in right now. But, again, Gunther's breaking Honky Tonk Man's record. That's stood since 1988. God bless Honky, but time to go, buddy.
It's time to go. Gunther, what are you going to say? He's a gigantic heel. He plays the role well.
I love this Imperium stable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's borderline of being politically incorrect, but it's not. It hasn't crossed that line.
No, some people got upset with the name.
How could you not?
Right, exactly.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Let's let wrestling have bad guys, okay?
Exactly. It was always, you have to have bad guys.
Evil Germans, even evil Japanese.
The evil Russians.
Evil Russians against American baby faces with either Italian heritage or Puerto Rican heritage. Those were always the good guys. Everywhere you went, Vince had an ethnic world champion. He had a Puerto Rican in New York when the Spanish grad was hot. He had Bruno when the Italians were hot. He transformed it over to Backlund to be the all-American babyface boy who they fed Backlund for 5 years, every international bad heel you can get. He made money like that. And the wrestling will always go back to its roots. Yep. If you took Ricky O as the all-American New York Ranger Ricky O, and you brought in the evil Sergei Nemchinov from Russia, and we're going to have this, you know, one-on-one hockey game, 90% of the people who tuned in would root for me because I'm the American.
Exactly. Well, that's what they did with Sergeant Slaughter and Iron Sheik.
Greatest angle ever. I was thinking, this is something else I want to talk about tonight at the end of the show. I have a whole 10 minutes I want to go over. Let's wrap up SummerSlam.
All right, so SummerSlam, obviously Bianca, Asuka, Charlotte, triple threat women's match. 10 minutes too long, in my opinion.
Dragged.
I'll give Bianca a hell of a credit for selling that knee and working it and being a great actor with that. She gets the win. Io cashes in, saves the night for the women's division. I think fans wanted it.
Good for you, big fan of hers, Jim?
I love Io, man. I've been a big fan of her since she came over to NXT. I thought she's been great. I'm glad she's champ.
Good. I mean, I'm glad. See, this is what makes me happy because you're a fan. So if you watch the show and you left happy, that's a good thing for wrestling. Didn't care about the match. I don't really care about anybody in the women's division. That's just me. I still root for Charlotte.
I'm just happy Bayley and that stable got something out of it. Because my biggest criticism since Damage Control has been put together has been they've been losing too much. They've been jobbing, losing titles, haven't been presented as a credible stable. And then they get this win. And now you got a world championship. So that kind of puts everything together. Main event, we talked about it. Roman goes over, and that's SummerSlam.
That's SummerSlam in a nutshell. 3 out of 5 stars, in my opinion.
Yeah, very watchable show. Yep, absolutely.
Very watchable show. Nothing really stands out except for the last 5 minutes of the show with the heel turn. Yeah, on a heel turn.
I want to hear about the excuse time constraints. The show went 4.5 hours.
Yeah, but they couldn't put fucking
Trish and Becky on the show.
That's why I love Trish Stratus.
Oh God, I still love Trish Stratus.
Gee, I've met her a couple times, hung out with her one time at an event, and down to earth, lovable, likable. Like you can't believe what a nice woman she is. Also, that's another big thing when you meet somebody. And even in the business, sometimes you get big shotted by other people. Sometimes they don't talk to you. Sometimes they're the nicest people in the world. And I have to say, she's one of the nicest people I ever met.
Absolutely. Awesome person.
Here's my homework assignment, guys. I know we're doing our first all extensive wrestling show. And Jimmy, I want you to, this is a homework assignment for you also. So you're going to take notes here.
Right.
I want you to give me the top 10 enhancement talents that you ever watched on TV for next week.
Top 10 and 10.
Guys like SC Jones, Mario Mancini,
Brooklyn Brawler,
anybody that like that. And then we're going to take those 10 names you have. We're going to fine tune them. And I want the crowd, I want our listening audience to send in their top 10. And then we're going to see who's on a couple of the same list. And then we're going to run a weekly World Jobber Championship where we're going to do eliminations. We're going to simulate the match, who would win, how they would win, what makes sense for them to win. And then we're going to name the first ever all-in Jobber World Heavyweight Champion.
I like it.
Okay. So that's for our listening audience. You're going to put that poll up on your 163 of your shows you do tomorrow. Get us some questions. Get us some fan response. Second thing is, and this is why I cut you off on Sergeant Slaughter. I wasn't trying to be mean and cut you off. I want the fans to, and I don't know what happened. The other day I was just daydreaming, laying on the couch over there, right under my Guy LaFleur and Sish Sterkin tribute wall. I want you to give me 2 to 5, whatever you can think of, best babyface turns in the history of wrestling. I can remember and still think and get goosebumps when Sergeant Slaughter turned babyface and how it went down. If you haven't seen the whole clip, go on YouTube and watch it. When he turns on the Iron Sheik and him, and it turns into Slaughter defending our country and doing the Pledge of Allegiance and getting goosebumps, like just absolutely amazing. But I'll save my rest of them for now. You're a little older, so you're gonna have a little younger, so you're gonna have some different ones than I do. But I want you to give me 4 or 5 examples of a person turning babyface. Next week we'll do heel. But baby face turns that made you like pop out of your chair when you were either young or now or whatever you want to do.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, obviously the biggest one that sticks out to me was the double turn at WrestleMania 13 with Bret and Austin. I thought that was well executed by both guys in a great feud that starts like in 96 before even Bret comes back to
carrying the whole era.
Yeah. I mean, that was just a great, that was that feud alone that went to the Royal Rumble, starts at Survivor Series 1996. By the way, guys, if you haven't seen the Revenge of Taker in your house match between Bret and Austin, underrated out of the three of those matches, probably one of the more underrated matches those guys have.
If you saw a Bret Hart match, Jimmy, I don't know if you ever saw this, but I would look it up if you didn't. But Bret Hart, Terry Funk at the Paul Bosch retirement
show. I saw that match. Yeah, that was really good.
Really, really good. And let's save the rest of your – let's save those polls for next week. Let's get your audience. Put those up on our website. Let's put them on Twitter. Have we opened our Twitter yet?
We have opened our Twitter. It's just your Twitter right now. It's All in One Sports up there on the Twitter. So,
fantastic. Let's get the – if you're listening to this, shoot us in your best babyface turns in the history of wrestling, your best jobber enhancement talent, whatever you want to call them.
We can call it jobbers. Let's not be politically correct here.
They're jobbers, man. They're TV.
They're fucking jobbers. Like,
they're fucking jobbers. They're the fucking John Van Beesbrooks of hockey.
Like they were jobbers. That's what they were called. Let's go.
So we're going to talk about that. And then I again, listening to Busted Open today, I almost fucking died laughing. I almost crashed my Jeep. Batista is talking about something, and Bubba says, well, let's get into fitness or something like that. And he says, all of a sudden you came back and, you had this incredible body. And fucking Devon says, well, what happened was Batista left and he left one of his gym bags in, and I just started taking Batista's meds. And next thing you know, I was jacked out of my mind and able to wrestle without a shirt on.
That's great.
And he says to Bubba, he's like, remember when you were 410 pounds? And he's like, I found one of Batista's bags too. He goes, I know how I fucking did it. Was testosterone, Anabar, and something else. I just started laughing. Like, he just named the roids right on the radio show that he was doing. And that's what makes Bubba amazing. I met Bubba in 1997 at Lodi High School. We ran a fundraiser for my friend Chris. God rest his soul. He passed away. He was paralyzed in an accident. We did a wrestling show. And he came with some of the New York City guys who were there. And he just did a run-in as Mark the Terminator. And that was the first time I met him, was all the way back in 1997. I'm sorry, 94. I apologize, 1994. And then he did 10, 15 appearances for me. The Dudleys did for JCW and GCW wrestling, autograph appearances. And he plays this incredibly badass mother effer, even on the radio. Like, he's just – he's the enforcer of the radio show. But if you know Bubba, he's loyal. He's nice, and he's a class act. And Devon, you can't say a bad. Anybody in the world says a bad thing about Devon Dudley's lying.
Yeah, exactly. You can't say a bad thing about Devon.
You can't say a bad thing about Devon. He's an amazing family man. He great human being. So I shout out to the Dudleys. I heard Bubba say today they never felt like they ever got their really just due from any company.
That's true. They didn't.
They're on my Mount Rushmore with the Road Warriors and the Midnight Express and Rock and Roll Express is the greatest
tag teams in the history of the business. Absolutely.
And big shout out to them. So, you know, maybe I can call Bubba or Devon one day, see if we can ever get them on. I have a good relationship with both of them. I hope. Sometimes you don't know. You don't talk to somebody for a couple of years, they hate your guts. But amazing. To me, there was nothing better than ECW. My favorite matches were always the Dudleys.
Oh, Dudleys were amazing.
Every incarnation of them, from Dances with Dudleys to Dudley Doolittle or whatever the hell they had over there.
Dudley.
They had
Mike
them all.
Dudley.
Big Alex was a good friend of mine, Big Dick Dudley. Before he passed away, we became very close friends. But yeah, you know, they were amazing. God bless them. They did something every one of us dreamed of. They're self-made and had people bidding over them, and they did amazing. Just shout out to a bunch of guys I ever did business with like that. You know, Road Warrior Hawk, God rest his soul, one of my favorite people in the entire world. My idol.
So I got a question for you. So I was watching SummerSlam 92 today because it came up on my feed because one of the things I follow was going through all the SummerSlams, and I texted to my friends and they're like, "Yeah, man, you know, it's funny. The Road Warriors, LOD at the time." Supposed to win the tag team titles at SummerSlam 1992.
And they moved them to the first match of the show.
Against DiBiase.
Yeah.
Against Money Inc.
Hawk was incoherent. His demons had gotten the best of him at that time. And he wasn't himself. And it was a shame. Instead of helping the guy, they exploited him. You know, they did the whole fall off the Titantron. And then they brought in Draz. God rest his soul. Draz. Another just nice kid who got caught up in a business, had a freak accident. You know, now you look at wrestling today and you see these kids pulling off these 6,000 spins and moves and everything. And thank God nobody's getting hurt. And then you got Draz and just a basic suplex paralyzed and the rest of his life can't move. You know, it's sad. Yeah. It's a really sad story. God bless him. He never quit and he made it work for him, but he passed away. If you guys don't know, Draz, former NFL player, came in WWE as Puke. Was able to puke on command. Eventually became a member of the LOD and then had a little singles career, had a major accident working with D'Lo Brown, another
very nice guy.
Can't say enough things about him either. Just, I mean, you know, it's funny going back to Dennis Corluzzo, Yardville shows. As a kid, I was in my teenage years, and me and Tommy Fierro just wreaked havoc on everybody. We became friends with Dennis, and we just ran shows and put ideas in Dennis's head, and we just fucking did whatever we want, and Dennis let us do it. And fuck everybody who has to question that or question my loyalty to Dennis. And that's a shoot. There's a couple people out there that want to say, oh, fuck you. I put up with Dennis calling me at 4 o'clock in the morning to tell me to put on Discovery Channel and watch Two Turtles. Fuck. True story. I put up with my daughter being born and 6 weeks later having 27 insurance policies out in my daughter's name so he can hit a monthly bonus through his insurance writing business. But Dennis, you go back to Yardville, where I was the stuttering Ricky L ring announcer way before Bubba Dudley ever existed. I was in this corner, and Dennis had me out there just doing his whole thing, and then they would hit music, and I would start to dance, and then all of a sudden that showed up on somebody else's TV, but that's okay. But the locker room was Al Snow, PG-13, Tracy Smothers, Dirty White Boy, Sabu, Devin Storm, who became Crowbar. Absolutely Balls Mahoney.
What a locker room.
What a D'Lo Brown. And D'Lo would come out and they'd play his music and they'd get real low and they'd say, what's my name? And he'd say, the whole crowd, real whisper, would go, D'Lo. And he would just do it lower. And the whole crowd would go, D'Lo. And a whole, you know, 500-600 people in this little building looked like 10,000. And they would just get behind these guys, and they're Al Snow. Dan Severin came up through that building, and then Dennis would bring in a main eventer like Dory Funk, and it was just an amazing era to be alive and be a wrestling fan. And that locker room, you know, to this day, Reckless Youth, still I can pick up the phone right now and talk to him like we didn't miss a beat. Crowbar, Devin Storm, was at my wedding. I was there the day his son was born. Just a friend, personal friend. Tommy Fierro, personal friend. He called up Dennis Corluzzo one night. We're in my house pranking, calling Terry Funk and pranking him. True story, pranking Dusty Rhodes and Terry Funk at my house in Lodi, New Jersey. And he calls, hey, Ricky O. He goes, you want to be a ring announcer for the NWA? And I was like, yeah. And he calls up Dennis. He's like, oh, Dennis, I'm with this friend of mine, Ricky O. And he's a ring announcer. He's really good. He's got WWF tryouts coming up and everything. And he just wants to ring announce. And all Dennis said was, does he own a fucking suit? And Tommy looked at me and I went, no, but I'll buy one. And he's like, yeah, he's got a bunch of them. What do you want, black? You want him to get black? And Dennis was like, yeah, tell him to come in a black fucking suit next week, dude. Hey, I got to go. I'm watching Discovery Channel. Click. And he's like, hey, you're booked. And that's how I got in with the NWA with Dennis. I started as a ring announcer, ended up managing the Iron Sheik for a couple of years through him. My first matches were me impersonating Golga. He got mad because Golga no-showed him one day, and then he handed me the costume, and I was Golga on the Indies for a while for Dennis. God rest Dennis. He died way too young. The stories that you just forget it. We could fill 10 weeks worth of wrestling stories just on Dennis Corluzzo alone, but light years ahead of his time. As a promoter, as a scammer, as a booker, just all, you know, was prevalent in getting the NWA back on WWF TV back in the Attitude Era with Howard Brody and God rest Howard. Also, I'm in his book. If you ever didn't read Swimming with Piranhas, look it up. There's a great chapter about me and Dennis in there. I'll take a secret to my grave with Dennis about the NWA cash box that went missing. So, just amazing, amazing stories in wrestling. And I have probably 50 to 100 great memories for every one bad memory. And it was a different era. Everyone watched each other's back. I tell a story all the time. I was out with Russ Haas, not Charlie, Russ, the one who had passed away too early. God rest his soul. Monster Mac from the Hit Squad. Dave Greco and a couple of us at Fridays on Route 17, which is no longer there. And the Nets came in for their Christmas party. And they were all a bunch of 6'7" to 7-foot guys. And Manny Fernandez was with us. And Manny was like, back in the day, we would have to fight those guys just to prove we were the baddest dudes in the bar. And Russ Haas was a fucking psychopath. You know, Division One national champion amateur wrestling. And then there's Monster Mac, who's just a fucking maniac.
He's a maniac.
He don't give a fuck. They get up and they go after Kenyon Martin. And they literally told Kenyon Martin, you got a second to get you and your fucking pussy teammates out of my bar, or we're going to get those guys in the back and we're going to come up here and we're going to fuck you up and we're going to break your leg. You'll never play basketball again. And they turned around, they walked away, and they went and stood in the doorway and they stared him down, and the fucking Nets team walked out of the bar. Jeez. It's a true story. We almost had a couple of brawls in there. I told you the Bam Bam Bigelow's.
I did. I heard about that story.
So, you know, that place almost had a couple. We had little Louie, the midget from the King's Court with the match with Bret Hart.
I remember that. Yep.
He interrupted a black woman's bachelorette party. And he said he jumped up on the table and he said he was trying to fuck this lady in her bachelorette party. And these ladies were in their late 50s, early 60s. And he said, if you want to see a 6-inch dick, I can show you one of them. He goes, but if you want to see a 6-foot dick, I can show you one of them, too. And the lady's like, what? You got a 6-foot dick? And he goes, I can show it to you. And she said, then show me, baby. And he said, Ricky, come over here. And I walked over. I go, what? He goes, you see this guy? He's a 6-foot dick. He goes, me, I got the 6-inch one. And he pulled it out on Fridays. And the ladies all went running in a different direction. Oh, it was crazy. Oh, the stories. We'll get into them next week. I got an hour for it. So we're going to go back and tell JCW road stories.
Oh, that'll dude, JCW, I the best JCW, obviously – The most recent one, I was there, Six Flags. That was a hell of a time.
Yeah, that was
a hell of a show. That was awesome that day at Six Flags.
That was a good night. And then we had some drama a couple months later with Scott Hall on the beach, the show on the beach there, Asbury Park show, when Scott went off his meds and showed up drunk. And Good Charlotte, the band Good Charlotte, got him drunk.
Yeah,
and some bad things happened. But God rest Scott. When he passed away, all the hard feelings went away. I don't like the fact that he passed on. I mean, I don't want anybody ever to not be healthy or die. Even Brodeur, I don't want anything to happen to him. Fucking prick. But anyway, don't forget, guys, Jimmy and Ricky's Football League, All in Sports, Fantasy Football. It's up on the page.
Yeah, it's up on the page. I don't think you signed up yet either. No, I got to sign up tomorrow.
Yeah, you got to sign up tomorrow because I'm doing 600 fucking shows a week.
Hey.
My friend today, his wife put up a message. Anybody who knows me or is a New York Ranger fan who listens to Blue Shirt Underground Radio, greatest Ranger podcast in history, Jimmy and Eddie. Anthony Rega, everyone knows him as Frosty. His wife put up a very, very, very sad message today saying that his life had come to an end and he had passed on, asking, I'm probably going to break down right now. Frosty, behind the scenes, was always like, if I even put up a post that was just like, I was having a bad day, he would just reach out to me and just be like, hey, buddy, is everything okay? You want to talk? Is everything all right? He was the nicest human being. He was obsessed with goalie masks.
Nice.
Older gentleman, older than me, and I'm old as dirt. And he was just a real friend. And God rest you, Frosty. I don't even know what to say. Like, I didn't know he was sick. I didn't know what happened. I just read his wife had put this just horrific message up today that he was going to go up and join God today. And hey, Frosty, God bless you, man. You were a great human being. And us Ranger fans, we lost a good guy today.
Yeah. RIP to this man named Frosty. Great gentleman. And, you know, again, Godspeed with you, man. And yeah, but I can't wait for next week. I'm going to put the poll questions up this week.
Yeah,
I'll put those questions up on a page in the group. Guys, chime in, talking about our top 10 jobbers, your baby 2 to 5 baby face turns over the years from whenever, you know, it doesn't matter.
Any era. You could talk attitude era. I could talk pre-era, and we both can talk modern era, you know?
Exactly. So it doesn't matter. And you know, like I said, I can't believe Impact 1,000th episode of Impact Wrestling.
Yeah. It feels like
I feels like that company was going out of business like 3 times and they didn't.
Do you know Bubba brought something up today that I didn't know and it blew my mind. Did you know TNA was drawing 5 times the ratings that AEW draws right now for 2 years straight?
Yeah, that was probably during their height.
The ratings.
Yeah, that was probably during their height in 2004 to like 2010.
Yeah, Dixie Carter. She did more than blow guys, man. She blew ratings up.
The problem is, see, and I'll end on this. Like, everybody wants to point to TV ratings and all this stuff. It was a different time then, too. Like,
I beg to differ with you, Jimmy. I'm sorry. If money comes from TV, okay? If nobody's watching, here's what I mean by this, Jim. They're in Nashville this week, right? No one, including me, knew they were in Nashville, Tennessee this week. There's not a billboard around town. There's not an advertisement around it, right?
What, AEW's in Nashville this week?
Yeah. You didn't know it either.
I had no idea they were going to Nashville this week.
Okay. So there's nothing here to tell you they're coming, right? But if you watch their television show, I'm hoping to God they're advertising their house shows.
Yeah.
That's where ratings come in and are very important because – if Ricky O had a national television show when I was running JCW, and I'm going to pat myself on the back, I had the best motherfucking independent company for 18 years.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Nobody could touch me. Nobody.
I'll name right now. Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Colt Cabana, Scoot Andrews, Reckless Youth, Billy Real, The Hit Squad, The Haas Brothers, Tommy Wildfire Rich, Gilbert's only single defense of the WWF light heavyweight title ever, where he defended the title and went over, JCW show. The Dudley Boys. All of these guys, low-key.
You had Janela was there.
Yeah, Joey Janela. Forget about it.
Oh, so, whatchamacallit was there too. Jay Lethal.
Yeah, Jay Lethal won a J-Cup. All of these guys, Mike Mondo, who went on to be in the Spirit Squad, all either started with me or got their first breaks with me. There was never a Ring of Honor. You got to understand something. Rob Feinstein stole my building, came to me and said, Rick, you're going to not like what I have to tell you, but I'm going to open a company. It's going to be called Ring of Honor, and we're going to run a J-Cup every single night because I have the financial backing to do it. And I went, what? And he said, we're going to run a J-Cup quality show every single night that we run, and I'm taking your building. Sorry. And he did it. And God bless him. I mean, other than chasing little kids around and getting caught, the fucking piece of shit, he lost his company, but it's still alive today. And Tony Khan's carrying on something that was based off of my show. Nobody fucking gives me credit for that. They were based off of JCW. Okay. First time ever that AJ Styles, CM Punk, Colt Cabana, Reckless Youth, and American Dragon Bryan Danielson all on the same show. It's in the WWF magazine. They wrote about how those three guys, as teenagers, were on my show. Bruce Pritchard talks about the J-Cups. My shows, but I get no credit for it because Ring of Honor formed a year after we started really blowing up. Anyway, we're at the 1 hour mark. I'll get heated next week.
I know you're gonna get heated. But guys, don't forget next week, top 10 jobbers, 2 to 5 baby faces. We're gonna put it out on Twitter, on Instagram, on everywhere. We're gonna put it out for you guys.
Tomorrow night, Jimmy, hockey and football show.
Tomorrow night, around 10 o'clock, same time, same bat channel. Talk some hockey, talk some football. Weekend was. Things are coming. Seasons are coming. Wrestling, football, all in one sports. You guys, Jimmy, know us.
I'm going to do it for you, Jim, because you asked me to do this, and we haven't brought it up because we've been forgetting it in our notes. Jimmy wants you to send in pictures of your girl or your mom. We're having a hot viewer contest. And Jimmy would like – he's getting embarrassed. It's okay. He asked me, top 10 hottest listeners contest. So mail your photos into Jimmy's email. You can put it up at jimberingerloveshotmoms.com. And you can start sending those pictures into Jimmy.
Yeah, that's his idea, not mine. So you send it to Ricky O at hotmoms.com too.
Well, let's wrap it up for the night. It's time for bed for me.
It is time for bed. But, guys, this has been All in One Sports, the wrestling edition. From stories to SummerSlam to everything in between. We'll have more wrestling next week, but don't forget tomorrow night. Hockey, football talk here on All in One Sports. Jimmy B, Ricky O. Guys, thanks for tuning in.
Join the league.
Don't forget, join the league. I got to do it myself. Take care, everybody. Enjoy the night. We'll see you tomorrow.